loneliness, depression, and feeling left out. No, God gives grace. He don't give immunity. Did you know that? God doesn't give you immunity from this loneliness that brings such depressions and feelings of despairing and a need almost of reaching out for almost anything you can grasp in the form of a chemical solution at times to help you weather the storm of that loneliness. It's something how you can go through a great big storm that's noisy and boisterous and terrifying, and it don't seem half as bad as being just cut off and being lonely and left out and thinking nobody don't give two hoots whether you live or die. Now that's worse than going through a terrible storm of violence. It sure is. You talk to anybody that's ever experienced those things, and they'll tell you the truth. They'd rather go through a storm and have a little violence than they had that old depression. And it's easier, I believe, to overcome. I believe it's easier to overcome. Forgotten of God. Forgotten by your family. Forgotten by your friends. The message is entitled, Left Alone, But Not Forgotten. God don't ever forget you. That's one thing you must somehow get into your conscious and your subconscious mind and memory bank. God doesn't forget. And God does care. And God will never leave me. Hey, if you can just could remember that, you better write it on your cabinet of the mirror to your medicine cabinet or over your sink or the dashboard of your car, because the devil won't let you think about it. He'll blot out every part of those little brain cells that's got one of them scriptures in there to help you when you need it the most. They're the ones you can't get. That's why you need something to jog your memory that's visible. And even sometimes you don't even see it. It'll be right up there in front of you and you still don't see it. That ain't no joke. You still won't see it. The devil's got a lot of ways and means, and God permits these things to happen to you and I to teach us to be more trusting in the mercy of the Lord. As David said, I've trusted in your mercy. Hey, Lord, I'm not going to run to the bottle. I'm not going to take a drug. I'm not going to turn to a chemical solution. I'm not going out and experiment in trying to find pleasure or satisfaction or ridding of this depression with illicit sex or anything of that nature. I'm going to put my trust in God. There's a greater fellow than you or I has been through that and recorded something wonderful here in the book of Job concerning these things. We think sometime we're left alone. I want to show you first how David was forsaken of even his closest friends. I want you to turn with me to Psalm, the 41st chapter. Psalm 41, verse 9. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. His closest friend lifted up his heel against David. I tell you, you need to be surprised sometimes some of the friends you got turns against you when the things are not going right for you. It doesn't mean they'll always be your enemy, but God can use them. Jesus said in Matthew, let's see, where did he say that now? The 22nd chapter, the 17th chapter of Luke, beg your pardon, Luke 17, verse 1. Jesus said unto his disciples, it must needs be that offenses come, but woe unto the man by whom the offense cometh. In other words, a stumbling block. God can use certain people to be your stumbling blocks that are your very closest friend. Why? It hurts more. The closer somebody is to you and they betray your confidence, the worse the hurt is. The greater the hurt. All right? Mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, he's lifted up his heels against me. Let's see how it was in the life of Job, the great patriarch that God had so much trust in. God trusted this man, and this man trusted God. And God let him go through a spirit or a valley of depression and loneliness like he can't believe. Why would God take a perfect man and subject him to such adversity? Why? You ask God when we see him one of these days, will you? There's a lot of reasons in the Bible, but none of them plummets the depths of the great purpose of God. There's still always, after the best answers, there's a little residuum of the unexplained. You just can't go that far with God. We'll ask him someday. But turn to Job, the 19th chapter. Beginning in verse 6. Know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Now he said God did it. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. He hath fenced in my way that I cannot pass. He hath set darkness in my paths. He hath stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. And mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. God's treated me like I was his enemy. You ever felt like that? I have. I've felt like that several times, and it's no good feeling. I look at the Lord once in a while. Things get going so rough. I say, hey, Lord, do you remember that I am your friend, that I'm not your enemy? Hey, it seemed like that you treat me like one of the them boogers out here that we don't even respect. You treat me like an enemy. That's what Job said. His troops come together and raise up their way against me and encamp round about my tabernacle. Hey, I want to stop here while this thought's in my mind and tell you something about Job. There's a lot of Christians today, they go through a lot of processes, you know, of trusting the arm of flesh and all. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God gets more glory when you trust him directly. When you don't trust any chemical solutions or anything. You just plain out say, God, if you kill me, kill me. That's what Job told God. Lord, kill me. I'm still going to trust you. I'm not going to trust anything else. I'm just going to trust God. All right, verse 13. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. Now, hey, you go around mourning and thinking God's mistreating you, you better cut out the vain philosophy. Some people become so vain in their old feeling of being persecuted and suffering adversity like nobody else has ever had to go with through what I'm having to endure. Yes, they have, and about 10 times worse. Bring me somebody that suffered like Job did, lost 10 children at one whack. All of his friends left him. He's the richest man in the whole Middle East over there. And all of a sudden, he don't have nothing. Now, bring me somebody. And a disease on him that he said rested on his eyelids, the shadow of death. I read that, man, it breaks my heart. Then I go and read James, the 5th chapter, and I read some more about old brother Job, verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken unto you in the name of the Lord an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job. And you've seen the end of the Lord, that he's very pitiful and of tender mercy. The end of the Lord. Why can't you rest in that trust? You say you trust God. Yeah, but can God trust you? God trusted Job and Job trusted God. There was a mutual concept of each other's integrity. both has integrity. See, God's got plenty of integrity. But